You're listening to the Taylor Marshall Show, episode 23. You know, we all get pretty stressed out at some point, and today we're going to look at how you can reset your mental computer. Howdy, and thank you for tuning in to the Taylor Marshall Show. This is the podcast for everyone who wants to create daily habits and learn enough theology to take their faith to the next level. You know, it's snowing right now here in Dallas. I've got my snow boots on. I usually wear those only when I'm up in Colorado, and it's really cold and it's really beautiful. We don't get that very much in Texas, so it's wonderful, and it reminds me of our campout that we had this past weekend with the Troop of St. George. I'm going to talk a little bit about that later in the show. But you know, this week I'm going to start off with a joke. I don't usually do this, but I ran across a really good one and I want to share it with you. So it goes like this. On Monday at the parochial school, Sister Maria taught the five-year-olds about creation, and she told them the story about the book of Genesis and how God took a rib out of Adam and turned that rib into a wife named Eve. And everyone in the class was not too interested in the story because they'd all heard it before. But one little boy named John Paul was amazed. And he was very interested in this phenomenon of a wife coming out of the rib of Adam. Now, the bell rang and the children ran out for PE. And John Paul and his friends staged some foot races to see who was the fastest at running. And they ran back and forth and back and forth. And finally, little John Paul wandered away from the boys and sat down on the curb, and he started to cry. So Sister Maria hurried over to see what was the matter. And she said, "Little John Paul, why are you crying? Did someone hurt you?" "Nah," said little John Paul. "Nobody hurt me." "Well, what's the matter? Why are you crying?" He says, "Well, my side is hurting really bad, and I think I'm about to have a wife." Okay, there you go. A little humor. I hope it's fun. You can share that one with your kids or with your coworkers. You know, that reminds me of a story about my oldest son, Gabriel. He was about, I think, 5 or 6, and he was telling his younger siblings, the twins, Mary Claire and Rose, the story of Adam and Eve. And he said, you know, God made Adam fall asleep, and then he took his rib out of his side, and then he turned the rib into an action figure, and he turned the action figure into a woman. So that was his account of the creation story from the heart and mind of a 6-year-old. Today we're going to talk about resetting your mental computer. Your mental computer. Now, are you stressed out? We talk about this a lot. Most of us have a lot of stress in our lives, family, work, and then other problems that are emotional or come from our past, right? And a lot of times when we lay down at night, our mind starts buzzing and we start to worry about things, right? Or when we leave work, we may physically leave work, but we bring that work and that stress home with us. Maybe we actually bring our work home with us, or maybe we just bring the mental stress of work into our home. So you're sitting at the kitchen table, and instead of enjoying your time with your family or your friends, you're thinking about work. Or you're afraid of things. You're afraid of the bills that are coming. You're afraid of losing your job. Maybe you're afraid of losing a relationship. And if you answered, or you started nodding your head, "Yes, that's me," as I was going through that list there, This is a podcast. This is an episode that you need to listen to because I think you're going to be encouraged by the time we get to the end of it. I titled this one a strange name, How to Reset Your Mental Computer. I didn't know how to say it rightly, so I just kind of came up with that. But I think it's worth noting that the word computer comes from Latin, computare, and it means to count together or to think together, to reckon together. So a computer, in a certain sense, thinks with you, right? It's reckoning with you. It's helping you along the way. And our minds are often the same way. You know, have you ever clicked on the mouse on your computer so many times because you're impatient that suddenly, you know, the little wheel is spinning on your screen, and then suddenly your computer catches up with you, and then your cursor on the screen starts going crazy and clicking all sorts of stuff? You know, that happens to me. I'll be waiting on a web page, and I'll just be clicking it over and over and over, and then my RAM catches up to speed, and it starts clicking on things that I don't want to click on, right? And that just ends up slowing the computer down even more. Well, that's how our lives become. At least that's how my life could become sometimes. I'm pushing and I'm clicking on stuff so much out of impatience that I'm frying my mind, right? And maybe you're like that too. Maybe you're pushing and clicking on so many things in your impatience that you're causing a jam in your mind, right? It's a meltdown. You're frying the computer of your mind, right? And so in those situations, just like when you have a laptop or computer, the best thing to do is to close down all the windows, close down the programs, and restart the computer. Let the computer start over, right? And when you do that, your computer runs faster, cleaner, and you don't have those hang-ups or those hangs while you're like trying to watch a video or open a website or maybe just open up a large file or a document, okay? So this week we're going to look at how it is that we can push the reset button. How can we restart our mind? There's a way to do it, and I'm going to talk about ways people commonly do it that don't work, and then the way to do it that does actually work, all right? Before we do that, I'm going to give a shout-out to two special people, Father Jason Borkenhagen. I hope I say his name correctly. Father Jason Borkenhagen and Colleen Austin. They are the two winners of our free Summa Theologiae giveaway. They are getting the 5-volume gilded edition from the English Dominican Friars, the translation of Thomas Aquinas's full Summa Theologiae. It's a beautiful edition. It's the one that I like. I put a video up last week and several weeks before on why that's the Summa to get. It's the best one. And Father Jason Borkenhagen and Colleen Austin, both members of the New St. Thomas Institute, and also Colleen liked us on Facebook. She liked the New St. Thomas Institute on Facebook. We did the drawing, and they won. So each of those 5-volume sets is worth $200. It sells for, I think, $197 on Amazon.com. So they each got a $197 version of the Summa Theologiae from the New St. Thomas Institute. So Colleen and Father Borkenhagen, thanks so much for being members of the New St. Thomas Institute, and enjoy those Summas. They are in the mail, they are purchased, and on their way to your home. So enjoy them and read them. Also, an announcement. Next week, I'll be flying to Mexico City to the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe. My first time ever. I am so excited. I even got my little backpack from the pilgrimage people sitting right here behind me. I'm really excited. Scott Hahn's going to be there. And I'm just going along. I'm tagging along as a pilgrim. I'm not organizing this. I'm not speaking on it. I'm not doing anything. I'm just going to be with Our Lady and see her miraculous image on the tilma of St. Juan Diego. And some of you know this. I may have mentioned on the podcast before, but I'm going to the Shrine of Our Lady Guadalupe to fulfill a vow that I made to the Blessed Virgin Mary. I told her when we were beginning the new St. Thomas Institute, I said, Our Lady, if you could ever get us to 1,000 members, I will vow to you, I will go and see you and thank you personally at your shrine in Mexico, Our Lady Guadalupe. I will fly down there and I will go and thank you personally. So that was a vow that I made, and I didn't share it with anyone. I kept it to myself. I told Joy about it. Well, the New St. Thomas Institute, as you know, is just going great. And on the feast day of Our Lady Guadalupe, right, on December 12th, I wake up, I look at the dashboard for the New St. Thomas Institute, and guess what? There were 1,000 members on the day, on the feast day of Our Lady Guadalupe. On December 11th, there weren't 1,000. There was like 900-something. And we crossed that threshold on the feast day of Our Lady Guadalupe. So that was like Our Blessed Mother saying, okay, Taylor, it's going to happen. And just so you know, that I was praying for you and helping you, I'm going to make it all happen on the feast day of Our Lady Guadalupe. So go ahead and book those flights, book those tickets, get on the pilgrimage, and come see me in Mexico. So that's what I'm doing, and I'm so excited. I'm going with a friend. Unfortunately, Joe and the kids aren't going to be able to join me, but we're going to have a wonderful time there, a prayerful time, going to Mass and seeing that miraculous image. And I did a podcast on Our Lady Guadalupe back in the beginning of December, just a few days actually before we hit 1,000 on New St. Thomas Institute. And I'd encourage you to listen to that one. There's a lot of info there about how the tradition of Our Lady of Guadalupe actually goes all the way back to St. Luke in the New Testament. An amazing story. If you go to taylormarshall.com/podcast archive, you'll see all the podcast episodes there. And if you go to number 16, that one's on Our Lady of Guadalupe. Well, I got this week's episode idea while I was out camping with my two older sons, Gabriel, he's 11, Jude is 7, and we were on a camp out with the troops of St. George. If you've been following on the blog at taylormarshall.com, you know that last year we started the Troops of St. George. It's a Catholic apostolate for men and their sons, or grandfathers or uncles and their nephews, to go out in the great outdoors and to learn how to become men, and also to learn the Catholic faith and the seven virtues. It's a fantastic apostolate. I've enjoyed it so much. And there's a lot of troops who have sprung up around us here. There's Troop 1, which we're a member of it, here in Irving, Texas. There's also Troop 77, Troop 5, which is a huge troop out in Keller, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. And we've got Troop 31 as well. And we had a camp out this past weekend with Troop 31, Troop 1, and Troop 77. And the theme was orienteering. And orienteering is where you use a compass and maps, and you find your bearings, no GPS allowed, to make your way through the woods. And we made courses. One of our lieutenants made courses for the boys to go on, and they got lost. You know, they had to use their compass and figure it out. And along the way, they buried treasure candy and beef jerky, and the boys went through the woods and they found these caches of sweets and food. It was a great time. We had a night hike where we saw beavers and coyotes and owls, horned owls, and armadillos all at night. And it was a lot of fun. And let me tell you, it was cold. It was really cold. The second night, I woke up about every 2 hours, and I didn't bring my really good sleeping bag. I brought my cheaper summer sleeping bag. But fortunately, Joy, my beloved wife, packed us a huge wool blanket. And so we had 3 layers of clothes on, and we were in these sleeping bags. We had this big wool blanket on all three of us in the tent, and we made it through the night. And we woke up in the morning and opened our tent and went outside. It was like the rapture. You know, half of the dads and boys had left early in the night on the second night because it was so cold and so windy. But it was a beautiful weekend. We had Father Pio Maria Hoffman of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. He said a gorgeous Mass for us for the Feast of the Presentation of Christ. It was Novus Ordo, but we did it ad orientem. And of course, we used our compasses to find true east. And we set up the altar and the outdoor chapel all facing liturgical east. And we explained the historical and theological meaning to the dads and the boys for liturgical east and why Christians have always prayed towards the east. Maybe we'll do a podcast on that one day. And we had a great Mass, and we had Latin, and it was awesome. It was just so wonderful. And I came back exhausted because I didn't sleep that well on either night. But I told Joy, I said, you know, I feel like I hit the reset button over the weekend. There was no iPhones. My iPhone My iPhone ran out of batteries the first night, and I just said, to heck with it. I'm not going to use it. And there's no computers, no laptops, no interruptions. It was just nature. It was just being quiet and being with my sons and being with men who are my friends. And it was great. I came back and I felt refreshed. It was like I hit the reset button. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. How do you hit the reset button? You know, I can get pretty stressed out, you know, I can get worried, I get discouraged, I get depressed, just like everybody else. And sometimes I just need to restart, to get away. For me, the best way to do that is to get out into the outdoors, to go camping. I'm an Eagle Scout. My father was a hunter. I've hunted in Africa. I've done big game, little game, birds, everything. I love to hunt. I love to be in the outdoors. And when I get out there and I'm away for a day or two, I come back literally a new man. And that's why this week's featured segment is really kind of also the tip of the week. It's how do you reset yourself? And, you know, this one, unlike some of the other episodes, is not as spiritual, right? I'm not going to talk about mental prayer and rosary. I think all of that is integral towards the reset. And I think we all know that. And if you listen to this podcast, you get that, right? We talk about that all the time. Today, I want to focus on something a little bit different. And it includes and assumes everything we've talked about before. So please go back and listen to the previous podcasts. But I think in order to really get a solid reset, close down all the windows, all the programs, and then power off and then restart, I think you need three things. There's three elements for a good reset. But before I get to those three things, I want to talk about the three things that people try to do to try to reset, but it doesn't work. Okay? Now, the first thing that people do to try to reset when they're stressed out is to phase out on the internet, okay? They go, and I sometimes do this too. You go into Wikipedia, and you start reading an article, and then you find a word. Oh, what's that? Click, and you go into the black hole of Wikipedia. Or for some people, it's Facebook, right? Or Twitter, or, you know, ESPN.com. And you just go into the black hole of the internet, and you kind of zone out for maybe a half an hour or an hour or, God forbid, a whole weekend. But you know what? I've tried that, and it does not work. It does not work. And I'm going to explain why in just a minute, okay? Another reset strategy that some people try is alcohol, or even worse, drugs. So you're really stressed out, and you're like, you know what? I'm just going to go have like 2-3 beers, or hopefully, you know, not a whole lot more than that. And I'm just going to get a little bit buzzed here, or maybe I'm going to get drunk or whatever, or I'm going to get high. And that's going to reset me. You know, I'm going to escape my troubles and then I'll be good. I'll be okay. Well, that doesn't work either, right? Because when you wake up or when you come to or when you sober up or you come down off the high, the problems are still there. And usually the problems are worse because your behavior while you're under the influence has made things worse. You've said things or done things that has not helped your life, right? And we all know this. We all know this is the case, right? So again, alcohol, drugs does not help reset. It makes it worse. It fries the computer even more. It's kind of like saying, you know, my computer's not working very well, so I'm going to upload a virus into it and that'll fix it. No, it doesn't. That doesn't work, right? Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I love a great beer and I'll drink a single malt scotch with the best of them. You know, I love that. It's a great thing. I think it's important. But I'm just saying it doesn't do an effective reset, and that's the purpose of today's episode. Now, the third thing that people will try to do to get a reset, to escape and try to get their life, you know, just to blank out and to come back, is to give themselves over to some sort of media, usually sports or movies, right? So, like, I'm just going to watch, like, all of the Die Hard series or all the Star Wars or all the Lord of the Rings, right? And yes, it does take your mind off the problems and does kind of provide a fantasy or an escape. You know, maybe you watch a football game and your troubles are forgotten, but it doesn't do a firm reset, right? So it's a pause, but it's not a reset. And we're going for a reset, right? And a reset means there's a rest and you kind of get charged up again and you come back new and fresh, right? So these three tactics, you know, just going into the internet and phasing out or going to alcohol or worse drugs or giving yourself over to media, maybe it's movies, maybe it's sports, maybe it's just jamming out to music really loud or something like that. It can help you escape, but it doesn't give you a reset or restart. And that's what we really want. And all of this is rooted in the theology of the Sabbath, which is rooted in creation. And, you know, we don't have enough time in this podcast to go into that. We're not doing the theology. We're just doing the practical this time. So what are the three elements for a good restart, a good reset? Well, integral to it, and number one, is physical activity. That might surprise you. You may think, well, we're trying to get a mental reset here, Taylor. Why are you bringing the body into it? Well, God made us soul and body. The soul is the form of the body. We would learn in Catholic theology. We'd learn that from Thomas Aquinas, right? And in order for our soul to find refreshment, there has to be something physical that happens. And we see this again in the Sabbath, right? God realizes that we need a physical rest and a physical recreation to restore our soul, all right? So if your reset does not involve the body and physical activity, you're not going to get that firm reset. Now, number two, that activity must be a goal, right? It must seek to achieve something, to accomplish something. God made us with an end in mind. Again, this goes back to the Sabbath, the seventh day. In the New Testament, it's been moved to the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Again, we don't have time to go into the theology behind all of that, but it is the case, right? Now, all of us have a destiny that's been established by God. In general, it's the beatific vision, right? To see him in heaven forever. But beyond that, God has specific tasks and specific goals for each one of us that only we can fulfill in God's providence. We've talked about this in previous episodes in the podcast as well, so I won't spend too much time, or I won't spend any time talking about that right now, right? So you must have a goal. And number three, you must achieve it or accomplish it, all right? So if it's hiking and it's to get to a certain place, it's important that you actually reach that goal, right? Now, if those three things are present, you're going to have a full reset, right? You're going to restart the computer of your mind, as we said at the beginning of the show. Now, let me give you an example, and I'll use the one I just explained from the campout. It was a campout. It had to be organized. It was extremely physical. We did a lot of hiking. We had tasks, goals that needed to be completed, both for the dads and for the sons, and we completed those, right? And although we didn't have a lot of physical sleep, because all those elements were met, most of the dads, as we were driving off on Sunday morning, were kind of like this. Oh, this was awesome. I needed this. This was great. You know, I feel good. I'm ready to go. You know, I'm ready to go back. And as I came in to my office on Monday, I was pumped up. I was jazzed up. I was a little bit tired, but I felt like I had reset my life, right? I did something that was a little bit different. I had physical activity that caused me to move about. It wasn't just sitting at a desk. And this is kind of, I think, what's wrong with just kind of spacing out in a movie or getting into the internet, right? You need to get out and see creation. All five senses need to come alive, right? If there's sweat involved, great. Let the sweat come. You need to see new things, hear new things, right? Even if it's going on a long jog or a hike, anything like that has to be physical. It has to have a goal, and you have to achieve it. Those are the three elements. Now, it's important also that we have these big resets, but also little resets. And I think the little resets are the same way. So if you're at your work and you're overwhelmed, get up on your lunch break and take a walk. It's not enough just to sit in your car on your iPhone. That's not going to do it, right? You need to have something physical with a goal, and you need to achieve it. And you will come back refreshed because you, I mean, here's why this works. You're tapping into what it means to be a human. You're not an angel. Angels don't have bodies. You're a human. You have a body, and you have a destiny, and you have this deep sense inside of you to achieve things, to check things off the list. And so you set up a little situation, a little scenario where you can do something physical and use your mind to direct your body to achieve a goal. So there it is. That's how you get a firm reset. That's how you restart the computer of your mind. We'll take a little break here and we'll come back with our proverb of the week and our saint of the week. Okay, our proverb of the week is Proverbs 10:12, and our saint of the week is Saint Blaise. So let's start off with the proverb of the week. Proverbs 10:12 reads this way, quote, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses," end quote. Hatred stirs up strife, love covers all offenses. I think we all know that hatred stirs up strife. But what about love covering all offenses? Maybe there's someone out there, there probably is, who's hurt you. Maybe someone from the past, or maybe someone in your life right now, and they've really done you wrong. They've sinned. They've messed up big time. Think about this. If you love them, you could cover their offenses. Not only would your love heal the relationship, but it could also bring them closer to God, where they could receive mercy and maybe even experience repentance and turning back to God in faith. So be an apostle of love. Be a missionary of love. It's the hardest thing we can do as human beings, to forgive those who have hurt us. And that's why Christ reminds us over and over that we should do that. And that's why he enshrined that lesson in the Our Father, in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Well, it's winter time. Are you coughing? Are you sneezing? Do you have a sore throat? Sounds like you need good old Saint Blaise of Armenia. We named our sixth child Blaise after this great saint, an Armenian saint. And I've been writing for a while now a novel for young people called Kill This Dragon. It's a story about St. George. And I include not only St. George in there, but St. Christopher, St. Blaise. They all lived around the same time. And I've always liked Blaise. If you've heard my story of how I became a Catholic, something very important happened on the Feast of St. Blaise. I won't go into that now because it'll take too long. I was able to go to Mass with the Pope on February 2nd, which is the day before St. Blaise. And while in Rome, I basically realized I had to become a Catholic. And that all happened on the feast day of St. Blaise. But St. Blaise is the patron saint of throats, throat maladies. So if you have a sore throat or a cold, you need to get to know St. Blaise. Ask his intercession, ask him to pray to Christ, and get you some healing, right? Christ went through the Gospels all the time healing people. That's part of his identity, that's part of his mission, and he still heals people. So ask for it. Don't be afraid to ask for Christ to heal you. There's people in the Gospel always asking Christ to be healed, and he never turns them down. So have faith and pray for healing. If you want to learn more about St. Blaise, go to taylormarshall.com and search bar hit St. Blaise. You'll see a really nice picture of St. Blaise there. And then you'll learn some more about his life and why he's important and how he was at one time one of the most popular saints in the Catholic Church and popular in the city of Rome especially. So there's your saint of the week, St. Blaise, the patron saint of sore throats. Oh, I should mention before we close out with St. Blaise, the reason he is in the legend of St. Blaise, a young man was choking on a bone and he was dying and his mother carried him to Blaise and Blaise blessed his throat, some accounts say, with two candles that were crossed. They were made in the shape of the cross, the sign of the cross. And he placed that on the boy's throat and he coughed up the bone and he did not die, he lived. And so because of this, Blaise became the patron of throats. And in some parishes where your priest is with it, he will do the St. Blaise blessing of throats. I had mine blessed by Father Pio this past weekend at the Troop St. George campout. And if it's not at your parish, ask your priest. Next year, at the end of January, say, hey, Father, we're going to have the St. Blaise throat blessings and beg him to do it. I bet Father will do it for you. So there you have it. St. Blaise, a great saint. And if you wouldn't mind, please say a little prayer, maybe Hail Mary, for my son, Blaise. He's 2 years old. He's a crazy little guy. All right, if you want to see him in action, you can see that Christmas video we did for the new St. Thomas Institute. He's the little blonde boy with the spiky hair who's running around causing trouble. Okay. And before we close things down with the Latin word of the week, which is a funny one, literally funny one this week, you'll see, I want to give a shout out to Ben Akers at the Denver Catholic Biblical School, and of course, the Archdiocese of Denver. They have chosen me to receive the Servant of the Word Award for 2014. And I'm really honored. I'm excited. I'll be going up there at the end of the month, and I can't wait to meet all the students there at the Denver Catholic Biblical School, because so many of they use the Crucified Rabbi as one of their textbooks. I think they might use the Catholic Perspective on Paul as well, but I think they use two of my books there as part of their curriculum. And I've received so many nice notes and encouraging emails from students there at the Denver Catholic Biblical School, and I think the world of Ben Akers. And so I'll be up there as a recipient of this great award, and I'm really humbled because people who have received this award in the past are people that I really look up to, like the author, Michael O'Brien, Father Barron, Dr. Peter Kraft, Dr. Brant Petrie, and Dr. Scott Hahn. So I'm really honored to join their ranks and receive the Servant of the Word Award for 2014. So if you're listening from Colorado, from Denver, I can't wait to meet you in person, and I'll see you in just a few weeks. That'll be February 28th and then March 1st, and I'll be speaking on both days there at the Denver Catholic Biblical School. So please go over to their site and register and be part of it. Look forward to meeting you there in Denver. And now our Latin word of the week. You know, part of resetting also is just having a little levity and joking around. And our word in English, joke or joking, comes from a Latin word, jocosus, which in fact comes from jocus in Latin, which means to joke or to sport around or have fun, right? And it comes from a Proto-Indo-European word, yech, which means to speak, right? So to joke around actually is a Latin thing to do, right? Jocosus means to be funny, jocosus. And of course, in Latin, it begins with an I. In medieval Latin, you're going to see that as a J, but it's pronounced more like a Y, right? So jocosus, funny. So you are so jocosus, or if it's a female, you are so jocosa. All right, so use that one at your cocktail party next time something funny is said, and you have some people who enjoy a little bit of Latin. And also, as usual, you can still get my book for free. It's Thomas Aquinas in 50 pages. If you're interested in philosophy and theology, you need this book because you need to get acquainted with Thomas Aquinas, and it's completely free. Go to taylormarshall.com, upper right-hand corner, and put your email address in there, and you'll get the download of it completely free, 50 pages. And it also has a guide at the end of that book on what to do next, the recommended books to go deeper in Thomas Aquinas. It's a great resource. Oh, it also has a vocab list of complicated words that you need to know if you're going to study Thomas Aquinas. So it's a helpful tool, and it's completely free, a gift to you. Okay, so if you've enjoyed this podcast, I would ask you to please go to iTunes and rate it. You can give it a 1-star, 2-star, 3-star, 4-star, or 5-star. And please say something nice about it, something that you like about this podcast. The reason I ask this is it helps other people find this podcast in iTunes. And why not, while you're there, go ahead and subscribe. You'll get this podcast every Wednesday. Again, it's free. You don't have to do anything. It just comes to you. It's a resource. And hopefully it helps you grow in your love and knowledge for Jesus Christ and to be a greater evangelizer, as Pope Francis says. So please go and rate the podcast. Please subscribe. And we'll close out by saying, remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said that you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. Pax et gratia Domini Jesu Christi, vobiscum.